This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, April 11th, TGIF, as they used to say back in the day. I used to love watching TGIF on Friday nights. This is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all have a glorious ending to the week. Hope you all have an awesome weekend. I'm finally getting to try a restaurant that I've been trying to get a reservation to for a while. Finally made it happen. I don't know like the rules around saying the name. I think it's cool. I'm going to Mon. I've not had a chance to try it yet. It's apparently one of the better new restaurants in the city. Super pumped to try that. I hope you all have great plans for the weekend. But let's dive in to the Eagles news of the day. And I feel like there are certain times in the calendar year with the Eagles where we turn the page, right? You turn the page from free agency to the draft. You turn the page from the draft to OTAs, from the OTAs to July where we really don't do anything. And then from July, you're to training camp. I think today is a day where we start to turn the page. It's schedule time. It's time to begin talking about the schedule, because in just about a month, it's going to be released. And let's just make one thing very clear. And this is not probably a secret if you've listened to the pod for a few years. I think the schedule really, really matters. I think it super matters. It can dictate how a season goes. We saw that in 2023 when the Eagles were moving right along at 11-1. And they got hit with a gauntlet and they were unable to recover because the run of opponents was so tough. They didn't have any time to breathe. And because of that, they completely collapsed. So we know and have seen in Philadelphia that how the schedule comes out really, really matters, right? So with that being said, we are about a month away from the schedule being released, and the NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, Mike North, was on another Odyssey podcast, Locked On the Bills. If you are an Eagles and Bills fan, you should check it out. But Mike North was on the pod and gave an answer about what he believes would be an intriguing week one game. Now, Mike North does not make the schedule, from what I understand, but I am sure as the VP of broadcast planning, he has input on it. And so his opinion on what could happen in week one, I do think matters. So here's Mike North talking about who could be a good week one opponent for the Eagles.
I want you, Mike North, to go through and look at that home schedule and give me a good argument for several of these teams about why you could place them in the opening game at Philadelphia.
Absolutely give you an argument for all eight of their home opponents. Absolutely. Okay. Every single one. Washington, I know the last time we saw them, it was a 30-point game in the NFC Championship game, but they added Debo, and they did beat Philly in Philly last year. So you do have two Philly-Washington games. Using one of them in week one would make a lot of sense. Same with Dallas. Dallas-Philly is usually one of the top matchups of the season. We haven't really gotten that maximum value out of Dallas Philly the last couple of years. You remember last year they played a game in October on CBS, and then their game in December, we actually ended up moving out of the 425 window. We moved it back to 1 o'clock. So new coach, Dak returns, week one, Dallas Philly, you know the Philly fans will be up for that. Giants, like we said, Russell Wilson, never more interesting than they are in week one. I could certainly see a turnpike game in week one. The Bears, like we said, played in a lot of national windows last year. They didn't have the record that they wanted, but they were competitive. Remember, they took Detroit right down to the wire on Thanksgiving Day. That game peaked at 49 million people watching late afternoon. They're right there. And I think if Caleb continues to get better, and obviously Coach Johnson probably had his pick of jobs and he chose to go to Chicago with Caleb, that tells you something. Detroit and Philly, probably the two best teams in the NFC last year, would make a great opener. Denver, playoff team, Coach Payton, another year in that system with Bo Nix. I think that would be fun. Vegas, new coach, new quarterback, reuniting, right? Gino and coach in Vegas. I could certainly play that one. And the Rams, for whatever it's worth, always play the East Coast teams tough. There's this weird bias about the West Coast teams coming east and struggling. If you're playing like a 1 o'clock Eastern, that's a 10 a.m. body clock, if you will, for the West Coast teams. The Rams are dominant in 10 a.m. body clock games over these last few years. I don't know what McVay feeds them or how he has them sleep playing, but they've been dominant in 1 o'clock Eastern time kicks. I could certainly see that as an 8:15 Eastern time kick. Stafford in Philly, first game.
Rematch, you know, of last year's playoff game.
A really good playoff game that came down right to the wire, right? One more completed piece, and holy cow, we're not even talking about the Eagles as the champ. So I can make a case for every single one of them, and kind of like we've been saying, you know, kickoff, it's the first game after however many months without football. Like, we're all so excited. Honestly, the three of us and eight friends could probably play Philly. People will watch. It's just it's that kind of window. But we proved last year, we put a Baltimore KC game in there, went to the wire, right, with the kid's foot on the toe on the white in the back of the end zone.
Yep.
28-something million viewers. There is a very high ceiling on kickoff. And like we said, just the way the 272 kind of work out this year, we could probably afford to go with something maybe a little bit bigger than we normally would and really get the season off to a strong start.
So definitely a long answer there. He went through all of them. But you know what? I'm going to do the same because I do think it's time for us to start thinking who would be the best opener for the Eagles. So first, let's talk about who the opponents are. I know you just heard them, but to recap, the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington, obviously, and then Chicago, Detroit, Denver, the Rams, and the Raiders. The Eagles actually go to LA to play the Chargers this year and then play the Rams at home, which is pretty crazy. You don't often see that. So look, there's a couple of intriguing options there. So first, let's talk about the divisional games. I do not think they will play the Cowboys in week one. I don't think they would burn that. I don't think they would burn that type of a big matchup in a spot where they already are going to get big ratings. Week one, the Eagles opening is going to be a big deal. Is going to be a big deal regardless. So I don't think you burn a primetime matchup there. So I don't think it will be the Cowboys. I think Eagles-Cowboys on Christmas feels like it could happen, but I don't think Eagles-Cowboys week one. It's obviously not going to be the Giants. Why in the world would they put that trash team in a primetime spot? Like, maybe if the Giants promise to start Shedeur Sanders and draft him, maybe, but I don't think they'll do that. So I don't think it'll be that. Washington is an interesting one because they were going to want to promote Jaden Daniels. It's got the revenge factor. It's a big NFC game. I think that has a shot, especially when you look at the other options. Like, you could put Chicago there just because it's a big market and Caleb Williams will be relevant at that point. So there is that type of argument, but it's just not a great game. Denver, I don't think it'll be that. That would be a weird week one game. There's no rivalry there. There's no history. It's an AFC opponent. I just think that'd be weird. I don't think it'll be the Raiders. Like, the Raiders don't even have, I mean, I know they have Geno Smith now, but they're not an intriguing roster at all. I guess there's a Chip Kelly factor, but I don't think that's big enough to be like a national talking point. So if you eliminate the Broncos, the Raiders, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Bears, that would leave Washington, Detroit, and the Rams. So we already talked about Washington. I think Detroit has a good shot at this. It's a big matchup. It is Detroit coming off of a disappointing end to the year. And it's a game that, yes, they could play later in the year, but you know that game week one will have a ton of juice. Like, that'll be an awesome week one game. They love to put Dan Campbell in prime time. You know, Detroit's a big football city, not a huge, huge market. But I think you do that week one. I think that's the best game from an NFL perspective. And then the Rams, while interesting, you know, I don't know. It doesn't strike me as big of a game as Detroit. So my guess on the week one opponent would come down to Washington or Detroit. And I would probably lean Detroit because I think they could put Washington and Eagles prime time on like a Thursday night, which it feels like they do quite a bit. So my guess would be Detroit for week one. Now, if I'm the Eagles and they called me and said, you get to pick, you won the Super Bowl, who do you want to play week one? I'm picking, I am picking the Giants. Just get somebody they can blow, that they could blow out. You embarrass the Giants in prime time. Saquon comes out, embarrasses them again. I think week one wins are so important. I think starting off the year is so important. And like Caleb Williams, I think is an interesting player. And you also have a new coaching staff. So there's that would make it a tough opponent. The Broncos have a pretty good defense, a good head coach. I'm in on Bo Nix. So I think they would win that game, but I think it would be a little tougher. There's no shot they're losing to the Giants. So if I could pick the home opener, it would be the Giants. And also, like, having to watch the Giants watch the Super Bowl banner go up that Saquon helped the Eagles win would be funny. But I think the most likely week one opponent is probably Detroit. Feels like it checks the most boxes as, like, a big-time game to start the season. So my guess would be Detroit. So next up, I got a chance to talk to A.J. Brown briefly on Thursday. So and for those that don't know, this is a pretty cool event that's happening in the city. So I know we got some soccer fans out there. You guys DM me. We talk union games, all that stuff. So the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup is being played in America. And as part of that, a lot of the games are going to be played in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is quickly becoming like a major soccer city. The Eagles have done an awesome job, and I'm sure other people involved, like the Union, in getting big-time soccer events in the city. The World Cup is going to be here. They've had big-time friendlies. I think the first event ever at the Link was a soccer game, if I'm not mistaken. So, big-time soccer city, which is very exciting. You know, obviously, I'm praying and crying and hoping Leeds goes up, but regardless, we know that Philly is a big-time soccer city. So, on Thursday, they had an event at the Link where the president of FIFA was there, the trophy for the Club World Cup was there. It's an awesome trophy, by the way. First of all, it looks like it probably weighs like 150 pounds, but it's a really cool looking trophy. There's going to be big clubs that come to the city. I think Real Madrid's coming, Man City's coming. I think there's at least one or two more big clubs coming, but those are arguably the two biggest clubs in the world. So they will be taking part. But regardless, to circle this all around, A.J. Brown was at the event. A.J. came over, took a picture with the trophy. He talked to the FIFA president for a little bit. It was funny. Like, the FIFA president said he was at the Super Bowl and he watched the Eagles dominate the Chiefs. I think he said something like they won in convincing fashion or something like that. He talked to A.J. He said something about like, you know, have you started preparation for next year? And A.J.'s like, I literally just came from working out. And that is what the off-piece audio I want to play for you is. So AJ talked briefly, I would say, not about a bunch of like important issues, but I did ask him like, how does winning the Super Bowl change your offseason? How do you attack it differently, or do you kind of do the same thing? So here's what AJ had to say about the offseason.
I think that's fun. I think that was a great thing we accomplished. And I think, you know, my motivation just solely went based on if we won or lost. I think I'm a motivated person alone. So I'm just doing what I do, you know, regardless of win, lose, or draw. But I'm most definitely happy that we won. You know, that makes it a lot better. So
in 2023, when at the end of the 2023 season, when Jeffrey talked and he said his team lacked resiliency, that quote really stuck with me. The quote that has stuck with me so far this offseason is Nick Sirianni saying that if you don't work hard in the offseason, the leaders on this team will expose you. And I think that is so perfect for AJ Brown. And you hear that answer, and it's funny and sad at the same time that he feels like he has to tell people he's happy he won the Super Bowl because of that whole Instagram controversy. But yes, he's happy he won the Super Bowl. And, you know, he does say, like, I think at the end there, he kind of says it makes the work easier, or paraphrasing a little bit. But regardless, what I liked in there is he said, I don't change what I do, win, lose, or draw. That he is going to work the same way during the offseason, which is obviously very hard, to get ready for the season. So I do believe that they have the leaders on this team to get them going for the following year. Saquon, Jalen, AJ, Devontae, like just extremely, extremely hardworking guys. And listen to AJ, like it's obvious. He is already, I mean, like I said, he said to the FIFA president, I just came from working out. So I thought it was a good comment from AJ. I thought it was just, you know, good to hear that he's out there working. He was asked a little bit about soccer, and I'll play what he had to say on that. So here's AJ talking about soccer and, you know, what position he'd play and all that.
Passion on a global stage, yeah. for football and for soccer.
I truly believe it may be more intense, you know, for soccer than our games. You know, I will always see it on TV. I have never been to a soccer game, but this summer I'm definitely attending. You know, I always hear great things. I play FIFA on the video game a little bit, but that's about it. But you know, I'm a fan moving forward.
You mentioned you were doing a lot of different training this year. I think you said ballet, gym, yeah. All types of stuff. You ever try soccer, any type of that? You ever play soccer growing up? Do you ever try that type of workout? Seems like you try a lot of different things.
Just messing around with it. I play goalie. You know, I play receiver, so I got great hands. I catch the ball, you know. But just with my kids, that's all.
You know, like soccer players are built very differently than like, the great like American athletes. Like soccer players are for the most part like smaller, they're skinnier, like they're leaner. It's just how you play for the sport. But could you imagine AJ Brown playing soccer? Like if he committed to playing soccer, the goalie he would be, it would be unbelievable. At his height, his arms, his ability to go up and catch in his job footballs, but like in traffic on a corner, getting up and getting the ball, how far he could probably punt the ball, how far he could throw the ball. Like he would be an unbelievable goalie. So something tells me he'll stick to football, but yeah, AJ Brown, if he wanted to, I think would be an outstanding soccer player. So on the other side, we're going to continue our mock draft of the day, as another mock draft is out and it has the Eagles drafting a player I think fans will be very, very excited about. So that's on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so let's keep the mock draft of the day moving. So far, the Eagles have taken a defensive player in every mock draft. They are 4-for-4 so far this week. And today, they go 5-for-5. As in the Yahoo Sports mock draft, the latest one, they have the Eagles at number 32 drafting a defensive player. So before we talk about who they're drafting, let's take a look at where they have certain players going. And the top two picks in the draft seem to be pretty locked in. That or everybody's dead wrong about what Cleveland's going to do. But Cam Ward to the Titans, Travis Hunter to the Browns. This mock draft has the Giants passing on Abdul Carter and taking Armand Mbeau. The offensive tackle out of Missouri. So they go with the offensive line. I think I don't know much about the prospect yet, but I think it's a smart pick for them to go on the offensive line. They need to rebuild their offensive line before anything else. Abdul Carter goes to the Patriots. So those are the top four. What I thought was interesting is this is another mock draft that has Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, going to Chicago over Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren in this draft. So Colston Loveland falls to or goes number 10 to Chicago. Tyler Warren falls to number 20 in this draft, all the way down to the Denver Broncos at number 20. And so I ask you to think about this. Now, I have a podcast coming out talking about the tight ends, and we talk about it there a little bit. But a little thought for your weekend. Would you trade the 64th pick to move up to draft Tyler Warren? So you give up 34 and 64 and you get Tyler Warren. Would you do that? Because if he gets to 20, that's right in the range of number of you adding 64 and you get to go up there. But also, if he gets to 20, like who knows at that point? He could get to 23, 24. So something to consider is if you're the Eagles, would you trade 64 and 32 for Tyler Warren? And the last thing actually I'll say too is, I believe Tyler Warren's only making one top 30 visit and it's not to the Eagles. Would the Eagles draft a player they didn't use a top 30 visit on if he falls far enough? Because we saw that it didn't work out with Andre Dillard, and it has worked out well with the guys they have brought in. So just something to consider as these mock drafts seem to have Tyler Warren slipping just a little bit. And then the next notable player, Malachi Starks to Kansas City at number 31. Could you imagine the draft party or just like the reaction from fans? Is Malachi Starks 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30? And like everyone's waiting to see if he'll get to 32 and then the Chiefs take him. I don't know if fans would handle that well. So this mock draft has Malachi Starks going to the Chiefs at number 31. And then next up, the Eagles at number 32 draft. Defensive tackle Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss at 32. And the reasoning, the Yahoo Sports mock draft writes, quote, Nolan could go 20 spots higher or 20 spots lower, and I wouldn't blink. He's incredibly talented, but needs to go to a place that will sharpen and hone his talent. The defending Super Bowl champion that has other talent on the defensive line with Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator and Clint Hurt as defensive line coach is a pretty good landing spot for him. End quote. I mean, yeah, no denying that. If I'm Walter Nolan, I would love to end up in Philadelphia. You get to play next to Jalen Carter, who's going to get double teamed a ton. You get to go to a winning organization. You get to go to a team that has helped players make a ton of money on their second contract. The team that has helped every rookie in the first three rounds over the last 3 years, like become NFL players. So yeah, I'm sure Walter Nolan would love to go to fall to the Eagles at number 32 and get drafted. It would be an ideal spot for him. Now, how would the Eagles feel about it? So Walter Nolan, we've talked about on the pod. He's a four emoji player. He gets the strength emoji. He gets a star emoji because he's one of my favorite prospects. The baby emoji because he's a young player. And the speed emoji. So Walter Nolan, 6'3", 290 pounds, 21 years old. He'll be 22 in October, so still a young player. 6.5 sacks last year, 14 tackles for a loss. And then over his last 25 games, he has 10.5 sacks and 23 tackles for a loss. So he's averaging a sack roughly every other game. Not quite, but roughly. And then 23 tackles for a loss in 25 games. So he's consistently getting in the backfield. He has forced a fumble, something the Eagles really like when watching tape. And what I think they would like about Walter Nolan is a couple things. One, they love like guys that had potential at one point that they don't think has maybe been completely fulfilled. And Walter Nolan is a five-star recruit and a number two player in his class, has not fulfilled the potential he had at a high school. I'm not saying it's his fault. Like, I believe he transferred schools. Like, he went to Texas A&M, which was a weird choice initially, and then he transfers to Ole Miss. Like, not exactly powerhouses. Sorry to any listeners out there. But I think they'd view Walter Nolan as untapped potential. And then in addition to that, just what he's shown on tape, he's super strong, which is good. He gets doubled in college. I don't think he gets doubled as much in the NFL. has a really quick first step off the line of scrimmage. Although he only had the 6.5 sacks, which isn't terrible, but 6.5 sacks in 2024, he did have 25 hurries in 2024. The thing that a few like scouting reports notice is he does go long stretches where you don't really notice him. So consistency is an issue. But again, like to what the mock draft said, he needs to go to a place that will sharpen and hone his talent. That is Philadelphia. Like I could see Walter Nolan turning into an outstanding player with the Eagles, like a Pro Bowl player with the Eagles. So if Walter Nolan's on the board at 20, at 32, and Malachi Starks is gone, I think that would be a great pick by the Eagles. So that will do it for today's Daily Pod. Go out, enjoy your Friday, enjoy the weekend. I'll have a Daily Pod for you tomorrow because it's what I do. But regardless, I do appreciate you listening and spending this past week with me. Draft is getting closer. This time next week, we'll know who the first round pick, or this time in 2 weeks, we'll know who the first round pick is. That's pretty crazy. So I'll talk to you guys later. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.